everyone. Welcome to Ending the Drought, a Buffalo Bills fan podcast. This is Season 4, Episode 14. I'm Jason Webster, here with your other hosts, Jeff Webster and Jake Cranston.
Hello.
Guys. Yeah, boo.
Hello, blokes.
Yeah, blokes, my ass.
It was a failed attempt in fucking London.
Yes. Things did not go our way at all.
No, not at all.
No, it didn't work out, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And it's a shitty, you know, I'll just start right off and just dig right into it.
He's been dying to get this out.
It's just shitty to, like, we had all this momentum, three game win streak. We're averaging 34.8 points a game.
Yep.
And we have to get dicked around, go over to fucking London.
Right.
And get pushed off our mojo, you know, and maybe it doesn't help. Maybe it does help. Who knows? The Jaguars were there for 10 days.
Right.
They got acclimated. ETN even came out and said, wow, what a difference this game was when we're actually able to, you know,
and
get
Trevor,
acclimated to this shit.
Trevor Lawrence also said, I think it gave us an edge.
Right.
We had been there for the whole week.
Yeah. And I'm not going to sit here and blame that they
right.
were just
right.
That's why they lost. I'm not going to go there, but it's not a factor. I mean, it's a fucking factor that there is some
percentage
yes,
of impact.
I was going to say, it's very reminiscent of our entire last year. Like, snowstorms, like, no one thing, even the DeMar Hamlin thing. Like, there's no excuses in football. I get it. And in and of itself, that's one thing. But if you look at London, the injuries, the travel, the field, our guys are complaining about the field.
Yep.
They didn't like it. It's just a myriad of little things that attributed, at least in part, to a poor offensive performance.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't want to hear the argument that it wasn't an advantage to
right,
Jacksonville
right.
that they're there longer. Bull fucking shit. It was an advantage.
For sure.
And the thing is I'm not going to sit here and let people be like, well, they're professional athletes. They should be able to adjust that shit. Bull crap, dude.
They're people.
It doesn't matter what you're tuned into. That's not your routine, dude.
Right.
You don't go to a place that's 5+ hours ahead of time. Try to gain yourself in a day and a half when it's an 8-hour flight. You get there, like we talked about, you're probably up at least 24 hours.
Josh Allen said
minimum.
He couldn't sleep on the plane.
Yeah, so that what's that give you for sleep time? If you got up to get your flight, you're up, what, 9? Let's say you get up 8, 9 in the morning that day.
Right.
You're up all day. You get your flight at 8, 9 o'clock at night.
Yep.
You don't sleep. Now you're there for, you get 8 hours of flight. You get there, it's daytime. It's like 1
morning.
In the afternoon.
Yeah, yeah, or early afternoon.
Yeah,
whatever.
You don't sleep all day. Like, you're so far behind.
Right. And your body is feeling that exhaustion by that point, too.
Yeah.
I mean, even if you sleep on the plane, is it good sleep? Like, I mean, I've never slept on a plane. I've never tried to, because I only traveled one time on a plane and too excited about the plane ride than the sleep. But is it the same as being in your own bed in your own home?
No.
And like, you know what I mean?
And
they have to travel. I get that.
Yeah.
But you're going from hotel to hotel to hotel. They're not going, hey, by the way, we're flying out to L.A. so everybody go to sleep on the plane ride. Like,
well,
that never happens.
Dude, the difference in travel, right, is these guys will go back and forth. They'll go West Coast or they'll go Central, Midwest.
Right, or East Coast.
You're going behind you either 2 hours or 3 hours.
Right.
That's not bad to adjust to. When you're going +5, dude,
right.
That's hard because
well,
your whole body
from Buffalo, you never travel that direction.
No.
Yeah, if anything, you're going the other way when you fly out to California.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's the exact opposite.
And all these guys are used to that shit because guess what? They all grew up and they go to college and they travel back and forth. They do it all the time.
Josh Allen said he's never been to Europe before. So, like, I'm sure on the plane over there, never being to Europe, it's really hard as a person, not as a professional elite athlete, he is also a person that's
yeah.
never been to Europe before. Like, he's probably thinking, I want to check things out as we fly into the airport. Like,
possibly,
he
right?
would probably be excited about going to Europe.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't? Like, well, I would.
Yeah, and then they say it's like, well, it's a business trip. We're not here to sightsee and blah, 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 blah.
Bullshit.
I get it.
But they're not going to walk around with their eyes closed.
Right, exactly.
They still got to take a hotel ride to the field, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, and what did Roger Goodell
say, Jason?
Well, he basically, you know, flat out admitted that this was sort of an experiment for the NFL. And, you know, the implication behind that is that they wanted to find out whether they could do more games over in London, which is why they gave Jacksonville the opportunity to stay there for two of them, see what impact they had on them, versus what it would be for somebody like us who has to just dip in and dip out.
Right.
So we were basically kind of like a sacrificial lamb in that way.
Yeah.
We were, you know, just an experiment to them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Other words, we got bent over and... Right. Our momentum got totally taken away from us.
Yeah, you notice they didn't do that for Kansas City when they traveled to Germany.
I would assume Kansas City is going to get there early.
Yeah, I'm just saying both teams will be traveling. They'll be playing the previous week.
Yeah.
They'll be traveling. They'll both be playing in the United States the previous
week.
So they both be traveling the same schedule.
Yeah.
And here's another point, by the way. And since you brought up, I just want to mention this real quick.
Yeah.
The last preseason game, Sean McDermott, they have a routine that they follow, and he says every year we want the last preseason game to be just like the regular season. Mm-hmm. Our schedule will be the same. So the practice schedule, the dinners, everything will be this game just like, or the same, just like it's a real game.
Yep.
Come Saturday or Sunday when they're going to play. They are hot on making sure that schedule is maintained throughout the season.
Oh, yeah.
So as you pointed out, maybe for another team who's not quite as rigid when it comes to their schedule, this is huge for Sean McDermott. Like the meeting times, everything is precise. So you throw this at them.
Yeah.
It's like that year, the COVID year, when they had to freaking play on a Tuesday night or whatever the fuck it was against KC. Oh,
yeah, it was all fucked up.
That it was, and what happened? They lost. Yeah. You know, like, I mean, dude.
But the thing is like, what, like, sucks. You've been working at a company for a very long time. What do you do on a daily basis? You're very routine, correct? You have your time. You get up. You have your time. You eat. You have your time. You take lunch. You like everything is like pretty much set in stone. You know what to expect. Well, athletes are the same way, dude.
If not worse. I mean, yeah. Some of the people who are the most disciplined in their lives are the people who take care of their bodies and do stuff like that.
Right. They're routine. They know what to expect. They know what's going to come next. They everything is boom, 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 boom. They even know like months ahead of time what their travel schedule is going to be like when they go to the West Coast versus the East Coast, blah, blah, blah. And again, these guys have done it their whole lives. It's not a huge adjustment.
Right.
When you're going to a different country, it's all different. And when you're traveling, well,
especially that country,
yeah,
because Mexico and Canada are two different. Like, you're going to Toronto, it's a couple hours,
it's 2 hours.
You're going to Mexico, you're changing one time zone,
2 hours, right? Yeah, 2 hours, dude.
You know, like,
but imagine, like, when we're talking about Germany, dude, it's a 12 hour flight from Miami,
those guys
and
KC, fucked.
12 hours, and they are 6 hours ahead of us,
right.
Like,
right.
Talk about, like, what the shit.
Well,
dude.
But at least in that instance, it's going to be equal.
Yeah, which is, yeah, both teams
which
will
is
be
what
playing off the same thing.
Should be the bare minimum in a sporting event is to have equality.
Yeah. Agreed.
100%.
A fair playing field to start.
Yeah.
When it's 0-0, they should be.
It's not always going to be fair. Like, when we go down to Miami or when they come up here in a blizzard, like, I mean, that kind of shit happens. But, like, this is a completely different animal.
Right.
This is having.
Yeah, this is not like.
This is having a week to rest.
Right. Yeah. This is not like you're playing a guy next week who just is coming off their bye and had longer time to prepare than you do. I mean, you know, that's a thing. But this is like you work a full-time job, 9 to 5, whatever it is, and your boss says to you, hey, next week, everybody that's currently working your shift will be working third shift. But just for the week. The week after that, you have to go back to first shift. Could you fucking imagine if you had to go from working 9 to 5 to working like midnight
five,
to 8?
Five to five or something.
It'd be more like if all the other guys were continuing their normal schedule, but you had to pull a third shift and then a first shift.
Right.
Like,
right.
I think that's what you were trying to say.
You have the same quota. You have to meet the same quota as everybody else, even though you're no longer going to get sleep. You're food schedule is going to be completely off.
Yeah.
Like, I seen the guys getting on a plane, man. They had snacks and food with them and stuff like that.
And what Diggs said was that ultimately you could just tell there wasn't a whole lot of gas. The guys just seemed a little bit not, you know, slacking, but like just a little off.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Not only
they weren't crisp, right?
Yeah. They weren't crisp. Then they seemed off. They said Josh seemed way out of sorts, very, very sluggish, very tired. But not only did the tiredness and the jet lag kind of pull the air out of these guys, but all of a sudden you got guys going out of the game like hotcakes. You know,
yeah, and then it's amazing they did what they did.
You lose Milano, which came out of the blue, and nobody knew. I didn't even know he was hurt until they went over to the sideline reporter and said, guys, Matt Milano's just getting carted off with a soft cast on his leg.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh, what? That's it.
So, dude, that and me being a an athlete through high school and stuff, and people get hurt, your right. friends, whatever, it takes the air out of you. It takes the air out of your team. You know, people are concerned that your head's not in the same place because you're thinking about, holy shit, we just lost a guy. And then all of a sudden, another guy goes out, and you're like, oh, my God, what's going on?
Well, think about how much that impacts us as people that aren't there on the field. And right. think about what that must do to the defense or what it must do to the offense.
Well, and again, this team is somewhat unique that way. The players even talk about the fact that, like, they talk about family. They talk about camaraderie and spending time together outside of the game and stuff like that. So they're a pretty close group. And the closer to the position, the closer the group. The defense is closer to the defensive players and vice versa. But they're all really close friends. And Matt Milano's been on the team basically since Poyer, Hyde, White, Josh. Like that core group that's always there year after year after there. He's one of them.
Yeah, and he's a big...
He's a fucking... He's a leader. Beast. Yes, he is a leader. A captain.
When you go and you lose Trey White the way you lost him, and then all of a sudden, you're like, holy smokes, like he's gone. And then the next week, boom, Milano, holy shit. Now
and we don't just know lost how long Daquan Jones gone. Like, with a torn pec, he's probably not going to be back this year.
Yeah. And there, I mean, dude, there's three players on this roster that you absolutely don't want to lose. Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs, and fucking Matt Milano.
Right.
Honestly. I mean, that's your top three guys you absolutely do not want to lose.
You can debate with anybody, Von Miller or Matt Milano, on the defense. I personally think Matt Milano's been there the longest.
Matt Milano, dude.
He's probably
I think Von Miller could be it, but he hasn't really had enough playtime to show it.
Yeah. Right, right.
And just what Matt Milano does for the defense, you know, and on that level of the defense, communication, you know, just everything he brings to the table, that's a big piece we just lost.
Well, beyond the fact, everybody knows he could have signed anywhere for more money.
Anywhere, yeah.
When they signed him, it was very obvious. He took a pay cut to stay with the Buffalo Bills. That's how he feels about this team.
Yeah.
And when you have a guy like that, just like Trey White, when you have a guy like that that's so dedicated to his teammates and his team, you can't help but really love the dude, right? Like, anybody who's willing to sacrifice anything for anybody else, everybody's, you know, attracted towards that person.
Yeah.
And those two are both, like, when Trey White went down, man, I heard nothing but, dear God, the man deserves so much better.
He busted
and it's
his
the
ass.
Same with Matt Milano, man.
Oh, yeah.
He deserves so much better. It took him forever to gain the recognition that a guy coming out of the college in the first round had played the same way. They'd have been all over his ass. You know, would have been kissing his feet. But Matt Milano, because he was a fifth-round pick, he had to bust his ass for them to notice that he's one of the best linebackers to play.
Well,
the
he didn't almost make this team. When, you know, like
right?
McDermott had a hard time almost finding him a spot on this team because he just wasn't getting it. He wasn't pulling his weight. He wasn't able to do what they need him to do, and obviously he became what he became. But the thing that really hurts me the most is him and Terrell Bernard
were
I was like, holy shit, like all year long we can have this duo. It's gonna be it's gonna be a great
they were like
year.
A pair of dice that knew nothing but rolling sixes.
I know,
like they were so good together, man.
It was unreal.
It was unreal for and sure just, absolutely
and it really hurts. But now it's just so I mean the only thing you can really do is you put as much eggs in your basket with the coaching staff on Dorian Williams, try to get him up to speed. We have Baylen Spector coming back off IR hopefully soon, which can bring some depth to the team, you know, special teams, possibly that linebacker spot if we need him. I can't see us really going out and trying to get another player at this point.
Right, right.
It's just this defense is too highly schematic to be like, hey, let's go get another guy and plug him in.
You're
going to
pay, $12 million, $10 million for a Matt Milano at linebacker?
No.
You're not going
to
find that.
And what are we going to do? Try to get on our knees and beg for Kirksey to come back out of retirement?
Right, yeah.
Just, I mean.
Screw that. If the guy comes up and says, listen, I just didn't want to play because I didn't have a spot. If you think I'm going to be playing on a regular basis, I'll come back.
Yeah.
That's different. I'd bring him back. I would.
I guess so. But,
you know, yeah. If that's why he didn't, if he retired because we said
there's not enough playing time for you.
Yeah. You're not going to play. You're not going to have a full time spot. You know, it's going to be a part time.
He'd be the only guy that I guess we could really bring in at this point and probably try to get up to speed. But, you know, But I mean, you can't really go. And then same thing with Trey White. Like, what are you going to do? Like, there's everybody's throwing rumors about Patrick Surtain. It's like, are we really going to trade two first round picks to get a corner?
How are you going to pay him?
Like,
Who are you going to cut?
Yeah,
because you're gonna have to find some money somewhere.
Yeah,
for sure. Like,
absolutely. You'd have to find money. Yeah. Like, you're gonna trade two first round for a corner,
right?
Like, is that really a good idea?
Now that's the thing. Like, I guess, and we talked a little bit about this. Well, first of all, like I said, I wanted to apologize to Bills Mafia and the Bills themselves because 2 weeks ago I found this hat of mine. And we're playing Miami, and I'm like, you know, I haven't worn this thing all year, but we really need the karma. So I threw the hat on, and the Bills smoked them.
Yeah.
So I come this past weekend to Sunday morning and to my son's house to watch the game, forgot my hat, and went, you know, it is a three-minute drive to go get it and come back. So I was too lazy to do it, and look what happened. Yeah. So going forward until the Bills lose again, I will have this cap on for every game. But that being said, we talked about the fact that Bills still have a really good defense, right? Our defensive line, if healthy, knock on wood, even missing Daquan Jones, it might present Puna Ford an opportunity to maybe get back in the lineup.
Puna's a great player.
Tim Settle played well last year. Ed Oliver's still there. Greg Rousseau's coming back hopefully this week. And now we got Von Miller coming back, hopefully 100% healthy.
It has to be said that our guys did amazingly well considering the hurdles they had this past week.
Oh, I was going to say that too. Like Josh Allen, his stat line, his quarterback rating was like 110 or something. Like he had a really good stat line, 359 yards, a couple of touchdowns, a rushing touchdown, one interception, but we talked about that.
Well, it's not like he was, you know, dropping incompletions everywhere either. I mean,
right. It was 67% completion.
Seemed like, I don't know if we've talked about it yet today, but like the scheme just seemed like shit.
That's one thing we didn't touch on, but I personally think I wasn't real thrilled with the play calling again.
I wasn't either. I think a lot of people out there weren't. And Steve Tasker, when you're listening to him on GR with him and Brownie, Tasker was really adamant that it was an execution issue with the offense. It didn't seem like they were in sync.
Yeah, and here's my problem with that, and I know what he's trying to say, right? Like, Josh Allen has said it, the coaches call the plays, we execute. If we don't execute it correctly, the play looks bad. My problem with that is that basically says, so no matter what the play call is, doesn't matter, if it's 4th and 20 and you run it straight up the middle, that's not on the coach. That's not on the guy calling the plays. That's the players.
Yeah.
So that's why, to me, that's always going to be, it's a pat answer, and it's stupid. Like, that doesn't cover the entire thing.
Right.
I love Steve Tasker.
Yeah.
But to be honest with it, that sounds like you're just making an excuse for the guy calling the plays.
Well, not only that, but the thing is when you are a play caller and then you're a player, right? Like, you can say, well, you know, the play calls were there, the execution didn't happen. Well, was the play caller putting the players in position
to
execute the play when it needs to be executed in the correct manner and in the correct situation? Were the play calls, did they make sense when the time and down was there for a particular play to happen? And so it doesn't always, you know, it has to sync up.
That's too easy, right? To me, that's just too easy. Like, when we lost the game, when Kansas City was able to come back and tie the game with 13 seconds left because we went into prevent defense.
Right.
Is that on the players? Like, they didn't set that formation. A defensive coach did.
That's exactly it. Dude.
So, again, if they're out of position to where they have been playing the entire game and played fairly well, so, like, how is that on the players? Like, the players can only do so much. They can execute good calls. They can. Or they cannot execute a good call.
Right.
But there are good and bad calls. Don't tell me there's not.
Yeah, and there's good and bad execution too. And the thing is, like the saying goes, coaches can only coach. They can't go out in the field and play for you. Well, players can only play on the field. Right. They can't coach for the coaches. So coaches have to put players in the correct position to succeed.
Sean McDermott's the first one to tell you that, by the way.
And let's get specific about it, because like just some of the things that I saw, why, if we need 10 or 15 yards, are we throwing it sideways at the line of scrimmage? Right. I saw that over and over and over again.
I brought that
why
up to Jake.
Why were we spending at least one time trying to run it when it wasn't successful almost the entire game until we finally started getting the hang of what we were trying to do?
Like, well, our running game, like Jake said, A, we didn't stick with it, mm-hmm. which that's debatable. Like, I don't even care, honestly. If you're not having success there and you try something else, that's fine. But that very first series, Josh's, I think it was his first throw, but it was third down, I think 2 yards. He throws it out to the flat to James Cook.
He drops it.
Who has to turn around basically to catch it because he's running the opposite way, and it goes right through his hands.
Yeah.
And that set the tone. Now it's 3 and out.
Right.
And you're giving the ball up. You know, like,
yep.
I don't know. We really struggled in the first quarter, especially running the ball, throwing the ball. I had an issue with the second half. I told you the first series coming out of the half, Josh Allen throws a 14-yard pass to Stephon Diggs, who happens to be wide open on the play, which is great. But then after that, it was like I think we tried to – it was first down, run up the middle, we lose 2 yards. It's second and 12.
Yep.
So we're already behind, right? And I don't even remember what happened after that, but ultimately we ended up giving up the ball again. It might have been the long pass from Josh to Steph Diggs. I don't remember. But
right.
Which, by the way, I don't blame Josh Allen for throwing an interception to single-man coverage to Steph Diggs, who 99 out of 100 times comes down with that ball.
Yeah, the only problem with that play was Josh,
he underthrew it.
Josh was just a little too late and underthrew him. If he would have let him, that was a walking touchdown.
Correct.
And I wouldn't say never, but we normally do not see Josh Allen of today miss that throw.
Right.
It just doesn't happen.
That's the only one that I could really say when they say Josh was a little off, maybe that's what they're talking about. Like the passes weren't as on target as typically.
You saw.
But you're right. It was slightly underthrown, and Diggs couldn't get leverage to get up there and get it.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't know if you guys noticed, but on the sidelines, you know, maybe deep into the third quarter, Josh, they showed him sitting on the sidelines, and he looked gassed.
Yeah, oh, man. Yeah.
Just done.
Go and watch his press conference after the game. It literally at times looked like he was trying to keep his eyes open. Like, I mean, he did. His face is all red.
Yeah.
Obviously, they just finished a football game, but his eyes almost looked a little droopy. Like,
yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, he just, maybe it was just because he was depressed they lost or something, but
I mean,
it literally did look like he was he had given everything he had.
Oh, yeah, I think he was drained.
And our defense deserves all the fucking credit in the world, man.
Absolutely.
For not having enough people in the squad left to really rotate out properly, and for how much time they spent on the field, for how well they did considering the losses.
Well, people don't think about, we already were down,
Von
guys.
Miller basically had zero impact in the game, despite what
Correct.
They thought was going to
Correct.
Happen,
right.
Which I'm sure was probably pretty devastating, like, for morale anyway.
Well, I think, and I think that was by design. I think they talked about it. He wouldn't have a mate, like, he's not going to play 50%
right,
of the snaps,
which probably
or whatever.
Wouldn't
but
have mattered until you lose Matt Milano, or
right,
until everything else happens.
Right. Yeah,
if he had been able to play, it would have been a lot better.
Yes, if he had been able to play a full series like he normally does, it would have probably been better.
Yeah,
but people forget, like, Greg Rousseau was already missing. We already had injuries the defense coming in.
And the emergence of Epinesa was huge this game, huh, guys?
Yeah, Christian Benford was hurt too, right? Like Greg Rousseau, Christian Benford.
Shaq was out.
Shaq, yeah.
But, I mean, you had, like, A.J. Epinesa, the way he stepped up in this game.
Dude,
number one, like,
he should have got a game ball. There's no doubt.
I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't, dude.
Yeah, he should.
You know?
He should have.
I mean, we've been waiting 3 years to see this guy do that type of shit. And we all thought that was the type of guy we were going to get when we drafted him.
Right, right.
You know, and, I mean, whatever, dude. Like, if it takes this long,
I
guess so.
Then
like, if it takes this long,
but
it's awesome that he is showing that he has this ability to, I mean, think about this real quick, too, guys. Like, now if you take the nuts and the bolts of this defense, obviously we're out of Matt Milano. But now you have the emergence of AJ, right?
Right.
Then you have what Rousseau's doing, right? Then Leonard Floyd is doing what he's doing. Now when you add in Vaughn, when he gets up to speed, you have 1, 2, 3, 4 premium edge rushers.
Yeah, you got
guys.
4 number one edge rushers.
Premium edge rushers.
All 4 of those guys could be starters on just about any team, with the exception of just a handful.
Yes.
In the NFL.
I mean, that's...
That's insane.
How many teams have 4 premium edge rushers?
Yeah, no.
1.
Nope. Well, the amazing thing is, now, especially with Daquan Jones down, we got 4 edge rushers, 2 of which can move inside.
Yes.
AJ Epenesa and Greg Rousseau can be devastating inside if they decide to have Leonard Floyd and Von Miller on the outside, and then Ed Oliver and maybe Greg Rousseau on the inside occasionally.
That's a lot of pressure.
Dude,
that's a lot of speed and muscle.
McDermott's showing some crazy shit. Did you notice? I mean, he's not a guy that's going to pressure a lot right away. He's going
to
count on his front 4, and then he's going to
adjust accordingly,
play some shell and whatnot. But, dude, he was dropping Leonard Floyd back in coverage.
I did see that a couple of times.
You know, I mean, he's schematically doing
things.
He
almost got his hands on a ball, too. Yes. It was a completion.
He tipped it.
He did.
But not enough to make it go off track.
Yeah, that was so close, man.
But the way
we had 2 bills around that guy, too.
Yeah.
If he had tipped it away far enough, it would have been in or something.
The way McDermott is running this defense, the high level of it is like what Shanahan's high level or offense coordinator is doing with the Niners right now.
Right.
You know, and we just need to get, if we could get Dorsey rolling like he did the last 3 games, this team will not be beating. No one's beating this team, dude. Like not with those. We're still number 3. What was that?
I don't know. I don't know what that was. Yeah,
you had a gurgle.
Was that me?
Yeah.
I thought it was Jake. No. Honestly, I didn't even know it was me.
Oh, cow.
I get those all the time. I know what that sounds like.
That was great.
That was awesome.
All right. Anyway, so I was going to say, like, we're still number 3 in offense right now.
Right.
With a blunder.
And we're literally a half a game out of
with
first
2
place in the AFC East, right?
Yeah.
I mean, because we beat Miami,
right?
So we do have the tiebreaker advantage. I mean, I know it's a full game. We got to beat them in the end of the season.
Yeah,
but I'm hopeful that like the worst of it is behind us. Like we're not going to be traveling like that again.
No,
we do have a bye. We still have to play Kansas City.
Well, some of the games we got coming up too, Jeff,
are going to be
the Giants game coming up.
Yeah,
I mean that should be. A role game.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I hate to look at any game like that.
I know.
But it's hard not to love the fact that our next game is against the New York Giants.
Well, what are the New York Giants? What's their point differential? Would you say plus 92 or some shit?
No, like a minus,
or a minus
91 90, or 91? Something.
Yeah.
They've given up, like, what I say, 130 points or something like that.
Right.
And the Bills are, like, at 80, you know, like, or something like that.
Plus 89 or some shit. But, I mean,
you point differential is like plus 70, but I think we've only given up like 80 points in 5 games.
Right.
The thing is, for whatever reason, like if we were the 49ers, there would be gimme games, and I feel like they're pretty confident in their gimme games.
Right.
Whereas with the Bills, it's almost like, ah, shit, I hate games like this because I don't know what's going to happen.
Trap game.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and again, we're hoping, we don't know, but week 1, we've talked about this before. You can almost literally throw it away most occasions. Like week 1, you just don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Kansas City lost to Detroit.
Yeah.
The Bills lose to the Jets. And then this one, you've got the trip. You got the travel. You got the schedule completely turned upside down. So hopefully now that those are behind us, we do have a bye. Like I say, we still have some really tough games on the schedule.
We do.
There's no doubt.
Yeah, we definitely got some.
But it's 2 losses.
What's our bye week?
10. Is it 10?
Week 10.
Yeah, I think week 10, yeah. Somewhere around there.
Well, just like Jason was talking about earlier, him and I were shooting the shit a little bit, and he's like, Jesus Christ. I'm like, what? He's like, the freaking injuries around the NFL right now are crazy.
It's true, man.
And I'm like, dude, Detroit just lost their corner. They just got back. That Torres, was his name?
His name's like Mosley, I think it is.
Oh, yeah.
CJ Mosley?
Not CJ.
Emmanuel
Mosley or something like that.
Right.
He has, he tore his left ACL last year in week 5, rehabs, comes back this week, tears his right ACL.
Yeah, that's
after two plays.
Yeah. Like, dude. Yeah.
And what everyone like, what talks is... about, and it's honestly the same story as what's going on with like Trey White, but you know, these guys work so hard to get back to
absolutely
being in shape on time to be able to play.
Absolutely.
It's,
yeah,
it's a very difficult thing to do.
It was literally about a year for Trey White
just,
too.
Just demoralizing. Like we all hate it to the T when it happens to our teammates. But when you look around the league, just as football fans, right? It just sucks because it's just a shitty advantage. You know, it's like a chess game almost. You got to play when you're in the NFL.
That's funny because Ross Tucker was on GR earlier today, and he said the exact same thing.
But it is. It's like you just you have to move in this piece, and you don't know, and this guy's hurt, and he's gone, and it's just you're
well,
constantly...
he wasn't comfortable calling Matt Milano a queen yeah. as far as a piece goes that can move any. But he said minimally he's like a bishop or a rook. Like he's an important fucking part of this team.
Well, and
when he's not there, you're at a major disadvantage.
And that's the thing. If you actually think about that a step further, like imagine when you played chess, you started and you rolled a dice to randomly take one off the board. And it could be your pawn or it could be your queen.
Right.
You would never play chess again if you lost your queen in a match. Like you took that away for like no fucking reason and that guy only lost a pawn. Like, but that's what happens on the field every day.
Absolutely.
You don't know who you're gonna lose. And and it might be non-contact. It might be for no reason. They didn't do anything wrong. Like it's just,
well, anybody
it's so
play
fucked
and it's funny because anybody who plays fantasy sports, like I had a decent roster. I had Mike Williams from the Chargers.
You had him last year too, didn't you?
Yeah.
You're dummy.
Yeah, I know, but when he's healthy, he's just like a really, really good player.
Yeah,
I drafted like, Justin Jefferson first overall. He might end up missing 3 or 4 weeks.
He's doubtful
now.
Already, yeah.
Yeah, like I think they said they might put him on IR for 4 games.
But you're like talking today, you're like, don't draft McCaffrey.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Well,
you're
that's like, because...
I tend to agree, though. Him and Barkley,
I had the first pick, and everybody's like, Jesus Christ, stay away from McCaffrey, man, because he just can't stay healthy.
And Barkley.
I've had him 3 years, I think. Like the past 3 years in fantasy?
Yeah. Yeah. Like
did you
last
have Barkley
year,
too?
I think he was healthy.
I think I have him now. I don't have McCaffrey now.
Okay.
I finally stopped taking him.
And you got Barkley now? And
because
he's
Barkley
been out 3 games or whatever?
Barkley was healthy all season last year. McCaffrey, I think, was healthy all season last year.
You can't count on these guys,
you
dude.
You can't. But look at Trey White. Like, or that other cornerback, man. You like you said, it's just, if it's
anybody.
A roll of the dice, that fucking blows.
Plus,
man.
It's guys like Garoppolo, right? Like, how injured is Garoppolo all the time?
Right.
Well, look at Aaron Rodgers. I mean, Jesus Christ. Like, the guy the guy changes his whole life around hoping for a new lease on it. And,
4 plays later, he's out for a
boom.
Season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Imagine how they felt that day.
Oh,
my God.
Yeah, I just...
Well,
yeah.
He's going to struggle because he's 40 years old.
Well,
right. Like, I mean...
Well, yeah, I mean...
That's going to be really, really tough to come back and get ready. And
he intends to try, man.
I know he does.
He's out of his mind.
We're very hopeful that'll prevent the Jets from drafting a star quarterback next year.
Yeah, there's going to be some good ones, too.
Because the Patriots might, too. Like, I mean, it's...
The Patriots are dog-awful, huh, guys?
Oh, dude.
How do you lose 34 to zilch at home against the Saints?
Correct.
The Saints are a solid football team, but 34-0, dude.
Dude, yeah. At home, when you're touting, supposedly, last year, I think it was like, what, the number 5 defense or number 3 defense in the NFL last year? They were really, really good.
Yeah, they were decent.
Yeah, I mean,
the year before, too.
I'm curious how you felt when you see the article saying that the Belichick era is over. The dynasty is dead.
It's about time.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I feel like it's been that way and no one's admitted it yet.
He's 71. I don't know how long he intends to keep going. He might do another 4 or 5 years or something. But you get into your mid-70s, that a coach's life is no dream. I mean, it's like usually you're at the fucking stadium every morning at 6 a.m. and you're there till 8 o'clock. Like, they put in tons of stupid hours.
It's just you can't be a juggernaut for 20
years,
man.
He should be fortunate.
It just doesn't happen in sports. Like, they were dominant since, 2001, dude.
It's weird how you can't walk away. Like, you know, like Tom Brady. It
yeah,
was
every
like
one of
pulling
these guys
teeth.
Is like
that. Aaron Rodgers at 40 years old. It shouldn't have been going to the Jets.
But you guys.
He should have been going, I fucking made tons of millions of dollars.
But where did it change? Because I get the game change, but Jim Kelly walked away after year 10.
dude, Andrew Luck was what, 29, 28, right. 29 when he walked away from
the game? Do you think it's maybe just that the egos have gotten a little bigger now with the way that players are kind of celebrated and they're all
well, they talk about posterity, right?
Egos. These guys aren't able to be hit like they were when Kelly and Marino and those guys played.
Right.
You know,
so they can last a little longer.
The game has evolved, so it leans more towards the quarterback now. You know, they're able to play at extremely higher levels because of the game, the change in rules, and, you know, cornerbacks can't even touch your jersey. Like,
right.
You run by him and like, oh, that's a flag. It's just that there's so much that leads towards offense. You okay, Jeff?
Mike was rubbing on something.
It was rubbing on your shirt, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, you know, I agree, what I mean, but though, I think the guys too want to leave a mark. You know, even though I think Aaron Rodgers didn't have to worry about that, Tom Brady didn't have to worry about that. Tom Brady may have been just trying to increase the gap between the records he currently holds and the next guy. I have no idea, but
the longevity leans towards quarterbacks, dude. Like a running back in this league, you're like, who's gonna
good luck
pass
after 30?
Who the fuck's gonna pass Walter Payton or Emmitt Smith's rushing record? These guys can't last.
It was funny because they were talking about the Bills. Can't remember if it was a specific game or something. I only heard a few minutes of it. But they were talking about Latavius Murray. That particular game was playing for the Raiders. And some of the guys he was playing with at the time was like Darren McFadden. Some names from the past you haven't heard Darren in a long McFadden, time.
Yeah.
And it's like, that guy is 33. Dude, in the role he is currently in with the Buffalo Bills,
yeah,
I think it's a perfect spot.
Absolutely.
I really do. I think he's a guy who can handle a half a dozen or more carries a game, but he's not gonna carry the ball 20 times. But in specific circumstances, look what he's done for the Bills already.
Yeah.
You know, he's done a really nice job. It's cool to have him. It really is.
But you're going to get running backs more like it. Frank Gore, same thing. Like,
yeah,
I mean, he was a great running back. He's up there, what, top five in rushing yards ever.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, like the way the NFL is going now, you know, you got Tom Brady in his, you know, he retired
45
at
or whatever.
44, 45. Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees was old.
38.
Like, what are we going to, like, how, these guys are, they're able because of sports science and this and that. All the medicine and everything, they're able to take care of the bodies much more. They're not getting their ass beat. And what are we going to see? Like a quarterback almost 50 years old in this league at some point? Like, holy smokes,
that wouldn't
man.
Be the first time.
Yeah, I think it'll be a while.
Wasn't it Bart Starr played until he's like 52 or something like that?
That's an anomaly.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, I think it was Johnny Unitas or him, one of them.
Right.
I think they were quarterback and punter or something, or kicker or something like that.
Yeah, but that was a long time ago. When Mac Jones first started playing. Like, if you can train a guy to just do like one specific type of thing, build your whole team around it and protect him and make sure he doesn't get hit.
Right.
Like it doesn't really matter how talented you are to an extent. Like you probably won't be winning a championship, but you could have a quarterback who was probably in his upper 40s who will get you to the playoffs. Like I don't think that's unreasonable.
His name is Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No shit. You know, I was going to say Philip Rivers, but
yeah.
That's two. Kirk Cousins. That's a good.
And did you guys know that RG3 is like he was pounding down the Jets door being like, "Listen, I want to play football. Bring me in."
Right.
And he even says it on ESPN during his pregame
broadcast
shit
or whatever.
He's like, "I can still please he's hitting the counter." He's like, "I can still play." And I'm like, "Jesus, dude."
Right up until I blow up.
Yeah.
The sad thing is he got drafted the same time Kirk Cousins did. Kirk Cousins is still playing. Not that like they're young, but I mean, dude.
But it's different style of play.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the worst part about it.
Yeah, RG3's that's why he's out of the game because
he got his knee all torn up and did what
Lamar is doing currently. Yeah. Which Lamar does anybody look at Lamar right now and think he's looking like a good quarterback?
No, he's on my fantasy team, and I just switched him out.
Yeah.
Dude, for real. He has 1,036 yards passing in 5 games.
Right.
He has 5 touchdowns, like 5 picks or 6 picks. OBJ has, what, 4 catches for like 70 yards?
Has he even played more than a game? Like
he played last game. He had 3 catches, or he had like 2 catches for like 15 yards. Like, he is a non-factor.
Right.
They paid Lamar all this money.
And dude, he's not bad. He did okay, like, for the first couple weeks, but, like, I just don't know if I can rely on him.
He's playing boneheaded.
But like, the really funny thing is, look at the last quarterbacks to get paid, right? Didn't they just do something with Mahomes' contract, too, maybe? I don't know.
Restructured it somehow. But
it'd be like Herbert,
right?
Burrow,
right?
Lamar Jackson, Kyler Murray. It's like all the money.
Yeah, I have Herbert.
All the money that's been paid out.
Well, Kyler's honestly worse.
I think Herbert will be fine.
I think he'll be fine.
Kyler? And so will Burrow.
Kyler's trying. Like, why?
Yeah, I don't know. Like,
what are you doing?
Honestly,
he's just such a nothing burger. You know what I mean?
Well, like, I feel like it was a 50-50 shot. Like, you're the GM and you're going, Jesus Christ, we could just get another quarterback. Or the guy's played pretty well. We could pay him. I don't know. But yeah, we could just let him walk, you know? And it's like, fine, we'll pay him the money. And it's like, you fucking idiot.
Well, you bring on, what's his name, Dobbs?
Yeah.
Off the street. And he looks fine.
He looks way better.
Yeah.
Way better.
And you're paying Murray like billion 50, times more 50, money, man.
$50 million a year, whatever it is.
Right. Like, and he's wearing freaking sports bras on the sideline.
Yeah. No kidding. Jesus.
What is wrong? It's just, I don't know. The league is weird this year.
I've said that. And maybe I say this every year. It's just, I look at the league and it looks like there's 26 bad teams. And then there's like six teams that are pretty good. Well,
what happened to the AFC being this juggernaut?
Like, yeah, that's
over. The AFC
over.
Doesn't look
that's
great,
over.
Man.
Kansas City doesn't even look great.
Well, they're winning by like a touchdown every game. That's it. They're not blowing anybody out. They're not down. Like, well
they almost got beat by the Jets, right?
They blew the Bears out. But yeah, the Jets, they won by four.
Right. Everybody's blowing the Bears out, except now they're starting to play better.
How does Justin
Fields? Their defense is still crap, by the way.
But dude, Justin Fields looked like he didn't belong on a modified squad in high school. And all of a sudden, the last two games, he's like over 70%. He's throwing for well over 300 yards.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, he just figures it out.
That's so weird.
Like you said,
it's just a real strange league this year. More so than usual, in my opinion.
It was pretty strange last year too, but this one feels a little worse.
Well, like Brian Daboll wins Coach of the Year, and now they managed to win one game
right
in the first five. Like, yeah, what like, changed so dramatically that they went from a playoff team to a team that looks like they can't get out of their own way? Offense and defense. Like, neither one of them's playing well.
Teams, I guess, maybe getting film on them this year, or I don't know, like something. Like,
but Daniel Jones has been a quarterback for what? 6-7 years now?
Yeah. Well, dude, he's dog. He has not played.
They made him play like a running quarterback, and they actually made it to the playoffs last year. Now he's still a running quarterback, but he's the only one that's scoring any points on the team.
Yeah. The only reason, like, Daboll was able to keep Daniel Jones clean.
That's the problem.
Not throwing a lot of picks. But this year, teams are just blitzing the piss out of him.
Yep.
And he can't do anything.
How about Ryan Tannehill in Tennessee? How's things going with them? Dude. With a healthy Derrick Henry.
Right.
Well, Derrick Henry's hurt, so what do you expect Tennessee to do? Well, we'll go get DeAndre Hopkins and a healthy Derrick Henry, and we'll probably crush it.
Right.
And they're 2-3. I think Tannehill has 2 touchdowns, 5 interceptions.
Tannehill is like he's got to be the least exciting quarterback you could ever think of in this league, man. There is nothing to the guy that would, like, imagine being a Titans fan with Ryan Tannehill as your quarterback right now. You go out and you get DeAndre Hopkins.
That's what I mean.
And you got Ryan Tannehill thrown to him. It's just a bad look.
They should have just went and got the biggest tight end they could fucking find, because it isn't like he's going to hurl it down the field 50, 60 yards.
No.
Hopkins' speed is going to go to waste unless they put him in the slot.
Yeah, like, you got to see Will Levis has to come in at some point, dude.
We were talking about it earlier.
If you want to push the ball down the field at all, Ryan Tannehill's, I mean, he's your little dink and dunk. He's worse than Jimmy Garoppolo.
I mean, I know it's early. I know it's 5 games. And I think they're 2-3 maybe
right now. 2-3, yeah.
But you have a rookie who was drafted 33rd overall. So literally just outside the first round.
Right.
Most projected him for the first round.
Yeah.
So you've got this guy. You've got Malik Willis, who already hasn't really gone the way you hoped it would go.
Right.
So at what point do you say, can he be worse than Ryan Tannehill?
You can't.
Can he be worse? I mean, and how bad would it be?
King Henry can't run the ball because all they're doing is they're
put nine guys in the box.
They're daring you to throw the ball over the top of Ryan Tannehill, and he can't because he has no live arm. I mean, Tannehill, like, we were saying the same shit about Tannehill when he played for Miami.
Yeah,
dude.
No shit.
Like, why is he still the starting quarterback?
Well, he was decent in Tennessee for 2-3 years because...
Was he, though?
King Henry was there. Well, he didn't have to do anything.
Right.
As long as he doesn't have to really do much, he's fine. But as soon as they have to count on him a little bit because they fell behind or something, it's over.
Oh, it's over.
It's over.
Yeah.
Guess who's coming back to play if Daniel Jones can't play?
Tyrod.
Our buddy Tyrod Taylor could be playing against Buffalo if Daniel Jones can't get back. They say they both said he is optimistic Daniel Jones will probably play.
Optimistic, yeah. Does Tyrod scare you more at all?
Yeah, no.
I mean, like, does Tyrod bring anything to that offense that you would be more concerned than Daniel Jones?
No.
Right,
he's a little less talented than Kyler Murray, but he's virtually almost the same guy.
He's an older version of
he won't take any chances
6 years ago.
Yeah, he won't take any chances throwing a ball. So if he's got pressure, or if the guys are covered, the windows are tight, you don't have to worry about him throwing a ball.
Yeah,
he'll throw it away or just eat it.
Well, so, I mean, I guess you don't want to give.
He's more mobile than Daniel Jones, but
yeah, you don't want to give a player that used to play for a team any more motivation than he should, but
true.
I don't know. Like, the thing is, the Giants offense, unless they have Saquon, there's really nothing to be desired there to beat a defense like us.
Well, it's almost the same thing, right? Like, you can load up the box because Daniel Jones is going to have to beat you with his arm. He's got a better shot of beating you with his legs than his arms,
right?
I think.
Well, yeah.
And on the receiving side of the ball, who do they have catching the ball besides Isaiah Hodgins? I don't even know their team very well, to be honest with you.
Well, they got the tight end they signed from the Raiders.
Darren Waller.
Now, he's a guy.
And they haven't used him correctly yet.
Right. I mean, you got to pay attention to the guy. You know, because he is a big playmaker type guy.
Very good tight end.
But like you said, they haven't really used him the way they should have in this offense.
Right.
And I think it's just because, one, you know, the Giants offensive line can't hold up to anybody.
Right.
I mean, you saw the Cowboys dismantle him.
Yep.
Who else? Was it Philly or somebody else dismantled them? They only scored 3 points against.
Yeah.
And it's just they don't have any big players downfield. So.
Right. Yeah, I think it does play into what the Bills are very good at currently, which is rushing the quarterback.
Yeah.
I think it's a good team.
My concerns with this defense, and I brought this up to you earlier in the week, is, inexperience when you bring in Dorian Williams, and B, you know, I hate to say it, but like Jordan Poyer, you know, his best days are behind him.
He's definitely lost a step.
I think
Micah Hyde, too.
Both their best days are behind them for sure. Now, I think Micah still has a little more in the tank. Jordan Poyer, just unless he's up helping in run support, I really get scared with him. You know,
trying to cover guys.
Yeah, I mean the back end of he's not.
The league is pretty fast, and especially in our division. I mean, if you look at the players that we have to play on a regular basis, Tyreek Hill, Waddle,
right?
The receiver in New York, Watson is his name. Wilkins, I can't remember.
Which one? In the Jets, the
wide receiver for the Jets. Yeah.
Oh yeah. He's the Wilson.
Yeah, Wilson. Yeah.
Not Zach Wilson.
The other Wilson.
The other Wilson.
Yeah. Yeah. Wilson to Wilson.
Yeah.
That's like Pickett to Pickens, right? Like, what the hell?
Pickett to Pickens. Yeah. So there's like you're saying, there's guys.
There's speed.
There's speed.
The wide receiver.
It's just
room. It's yeah.
You gotta. If I were Sean McDermott, you got to start finding ways to get Taylor Rapp involved in the defense.
At least a rotation, right? Like just a regular rotation.
Yeah, especially
by series maybe or something.
Like Jordan Poyer on first and second down, a guy that would be more apt to come in and run support, I'm cool with. But
Taylor Rapp's a great tackler too.
He is, but
you can use him on first and second down.
For sure. But I just when you got a guy like that can cover more field quicker. I just Jordan Poyer scares me.
That was a shitty thing with losing Milano, is because between him and Terrell Bernard, man, you could cover sideline to sideline. And those guys fly to the ball.
Jordan Williams has a lot behind him. He's just super inexperienced.
Yeah.
The athleticism
there. Supposedly he got taken out of the game in the middle of the fourth quarter, too. But nobody knows why. It wasn't an injury, and he seemed to be playing fairly well.
But Dodson came in. Yeah, I saw they're rotating Dodson in, and I didn't understand that. It's not like Dodson really brings anything to the table on his defense.
Well, they talked about when Bernard was injured, and they put Dodson in the number one slot to win that middle linebacker position until Terrell Bernard came back and proved he was healthy.
Right.
And then had an opportunity, and he just walked away with the competition. It was over.
Wasn't close, yeah.
Yeah, it was over as soon as he got back on the field.
Right,
so,
right.
So Dodson, apparently there's something about him that they do like. I don't see it myself yet, but, I mean, he was only half a game, so who knows?
Yeah, yeah.
I think we probably should do our picks and stuff, guys.
Oh, yeah, right.
Holy crap.
Holy
cannoli.
Yeah, so we got the Giants coming up. This could be like a get-right, feel-good game, not only for the team but for the fans.
It's a home game. That's a big plus. It's a night game.
Yes.
So we're going to have plenty of time to get fucking hammered.
Yes.
So they'll be loud.
I shall be there again.
And hammered.
And also probably...
We'll let you know what happened the next day.
Yeah. 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 I'll ask you guys watch when I get replays. I'll come into work. Can you get breakfast ready for me when I walk in?
Yeah, no shit. We'll definitely have breakfast Monday morning.
All right. So we got... Well, so what was the line, Jeff? What did it open up at?
Somebody said 2 touchdowns. So, like, I'm thinking 13.5 to 14.5, maybe 15.
Is that where it's still at?
I think Kyle said something about open at 15.
15. Okay. So given the fact that what we know our offense can and should do, right?
Right.
What we know their defense has given up, I'm going to go with Bills, obviously, in this game. I'm going 41-14 Buffalo.
Wow, that's nice.
I just think we're going to get back on the track. Dude, the Giants, they're giving up
30 points a game.
30
is it?
Or
is
it 32 or whatever.
I think
it was
131 points in
and they're averaging like 17
games,
a game or some shit.
Yeah, it's close to 30 points.
So that's where I'm giving us, because we're home. I'm giving us over 35, obviously 41.
Right.
And I can't see him scoring more than 14 on us. Not the way they're scoring.
Yeah. Well, and again, that kind of goes back to what we said earlier about the Bills still having a really good defense. It sucks not having Trey White and Matt Milano. But that doesn't mean that they don't have a really good defense.
They still have
defense,
a lot of pieces.
Probably better than half the league. But we'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
You know, game after game, and see who steps up, next man up kind of a deal.
Yeah.
So hopefully they'll still have a top five defense the rest of the year, but who knows?
Yeah. My players of the game, I'm going Terrell Bernard on defense.
Very nice. I hope that.
He had a little bit of a quiet game against the Jags as far as splash plays.
Right.
I think we'll see more of that this game from him. And offensively, I think James Cook had a really quiet, shitty game.
Absolutely.
And I think we're going to see a comeback from him this
first
week.
First time he had negative
that's
yards
rushing. That's what I was
going
to go with.
Not really.
I fucked you.
You did.
Beg your pardon.
not
stop that.
Literally.
That's illegal.
What do you got, Jay?
For a score, I think I would say probably 31-21, let's say.
Okay. All
right. And I know that's being pretty generous for them, but... Yeah.
Right.
There could be a little bit of emotional damage after the last game. You know, maybe we're still tired after the flight and all that. Who knows?
Right.
For my defensive player, I'm going to go with Ed Oliver again. I think, you know, he's somebody who doesn't really get a lot of shout-outs, and I'd like to see him do well.
Yeah. Yeah, he's been rock solid, but it'd be nice to see him get a couple of sacks,
maybe even
a pick or something.
I think he's got a good opportunity this week to show up for sure.
Good, yeah, very cool.
And then I'm going to say Gabe Davis because he's been getting a lot of, you know, good big playmaking stuff, and I'd love to see him get a couple touchdowns.
Big game Dave.
Big game Dave, yep.
I like it.
Big gay Dave.
Big gay Dave.
You don't know that. So yeah, I'm trying to do this quick math in my brain. So I'm guessing, let's just say the over and under is 45 points. So what Vegas is saying is that's a 30-15 score if the Bills are favored by 15.
Yeah.
So in light of the fact that I bet it's probably going to be maybe like 48 points, I think I could squeeze out like a maybe like a 35-13 kind of a thing.
Yeah.
I'm going to go.
I like that.
Yeah.
That's a nice score.
Yeah, I think the Bills will want to make a statement again, similar to what they did with Miami. Right?
How are you getting to 35? Five touchdowns?
I hope so.
Straight up five touchdowns.
That would be the best way.
All right.
Yeah, I don't want to get into field goals and safeties.
Right, yeah. Two-point conversions.
Yeah, two-point conversions.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so I like that score, 35-13. I think on defense, I'm going to go with Greg Rousseau because I feel pretty safe doing that.
Yeah.
Especially with Von Miller probably getting a few more snaps this week.
Yep.
And Von Miller coming off an injury, or Greg Rousseau coming off an injury where he didn't get the play. You know, it's got to be tough on a player when they watch their team go down, knowing that they can't be there to help. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I think he'll want to have a big game himself. And then on offense, honestly, yeah, I mean, you guys got it kind of covered. There's still a couple of guys that could play a part. I'm going to go with Damian Harris to score a couple of short touchdowns.
Yeah, I was going to say, you can't go Kincaid because he's still in concussion protocols.
Yeah, we don't know what's going to happen there. And Dawson Knox has, would you say, a wrist injury or something?
Yeah.
Also, so we'll see where they're at. The thing with Dalton Kincaid, for everybody who may listen to this, he did come back. He was cleared in the game, and he did come back and finish out the game, but now is in concussion protocol. So our thoughts are, and hopefully they're just making him go through the steps to guarantee there's no long-term effect.
Yeah, and they say that
he should be able to get through them quickly.
You can show symptoms 24 hours later.
Correct, so. Right. So I think it's more of a precautionary thing.
Yeah.
They're going to make him go through each and every step. But I got a feeling by probably Friday afternoon or even into Saturday, he will be cleared to play. I think he'll be all right.
Which the symptoms typically are massive headaches.
So. Right.
Yep.
Right. And it's not like he had a long plane ride or anything he had to deal with. Oh, yeah, he did.
Yeah, he was up in the pressure-sensitive cabins.
No shit. So he probably had a headache one way or another anyway.
But. Dude, do you ever have a concussion headache? Holy
no, smokes. Thank God I've never had to deal with that as far as I know.
Dude, I have. Me too. I had a bad one playing football senior year in high school. I hit head-to-head fullback, came through, and I took out the lead blocker. I was middle linebacker. And, the next day, my mom had to wake me up every, 3 hours.
Yep.
And,
school.
Dude, the next morning I woke up and my head felt like someone ran it over.
Well, somebody did.
So bad.
Yeah, like literally.
Pretty much. It was bad. Yeah. So.
Yeah. I was riding my bike down a hill and I was trying to hit a ramp, which was actually basically just a 2x6. Fucking wiped out, flipped my bike over. And I cut my elbow open, and only a little bit later did I realize that I had whacked the end of the handlebar with my head, and I had like a good lump. And concussion protocol for me going to our local hospital was don't let him take a nap. That was my concussion protocol.
Keep him up till bedtime.
Till bedtime.
Yeah. That's basically, it's weird.
And boy, did I have a headache.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are bad. Those are bad.
Yeah.
I like how you're trying to run over a ramp, which was a 2x6.
laying on a stick.
Yeah.
That was the ramp after going down a dirt hill.
Who hasn't done that shit? Who made the ramp?
Me.
Yeah.
And I wasn't the first person to hit it. Somebody else pulled it off successfully, and then I fucked it all up.
So you hit it, but then wiped out?
Yeah, the board turned sideways and kicked up into my back tire and just completely stopped the bike, and I just went flipping end over end.
Oof.
Yeah.
That's a tough one, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was fun.
They were. I don't know how it happened, because like I said, it's just a dirt and grass hill, but they were picking metal out of my elbow for like an hour.
Yeah. And stone.
Yeah.
Ouch. I've had a few decent bike wipeouts, but nothing like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah, that's a good wipeout, Jay.
Yeah, it was good.
Fist pound right there. All right. anything else, fellas?
No, I think we're good.
I think that we covered it, bro.
All right.
Well, for this week, anyway.
Jason, tell them how to listen to the podcast.
Yeah, you can find us on our socials at ETD Buffalo on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And you can listen to our podcast on Spotify for podcasters or pretty much wherever you would like to.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. We really appreciate it. Unfortunately, we wish we could have came into this podcast with the W.
Next time.
Next week, we will definitely be coming into the podcast with the W.
I think so.
100%. So, again, thanks, everybody, for listening. We really appreciate it. And just want to end it with, where else would you rather be than right here, right now? Go Bills.
Go Bills.